You are listening to a sermon from MCA Church. To learn more about our community, head online to mcachurch.ca. Thanks.
Morning, church family. This morning, we are finishing up our series in the Sermon on the Mount entitled Life Begins Again. And we're actually going to return to the text with which Keith launched this series 6 months ago. We've been in the Sermon on the Mount for 6 months. Now, do you remember Keith's message? Do you remember the image that he preached about? If you don't worry. I can't even remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday. So don't you worry. I'm going to remind you. I'm going to give you a little hint. It was something hard, something substantial, something unbreakable. That's right. He was talking about a foundation, the foundation that is Jesus. And what he did in his sermon is he said, hey, our lives are like a house. And if we don't build our life on the right foundation, our life is going to be a liability. It's not going to last. But really, we want our lives to be a legacy, so we need to build our lives on the rock who is Jesus. This metaphor for life's foundation is so foundational, pun intended, that we're going to look at it again. And so I've brought some concrete here. This is very heavy. I almost put my back out. I got some anchor bolts. We got some 2x4s. We got some sand. Because I want to drive home the point. That's the last pun, I promise you. I couldn't help myself. But in all seriousness, we're ending our series where we began. Because if we don't take to heart Jesus' words here and the way that he ends his sermon, then the house that is your life is going to have cracks, and it could, may even collapse in the end. And so let's hear Jesus' words again. Let's hear this picture. He paints this picture in a parable of two builders building on a different foundation and leading to two different outcomes. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 to 29. This is the very end of the Sermon on the Mount. Listen to Jesus. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise person who built their house on the rock. The rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish person who built their house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. And when Jesus finished saying these words to the crowds, they were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. This is God's word. So it is a dramatic ending to his sermon. And Matthew, who's painting the scene for us, he draws our attention to the response, the crowd's response. And it is one of amazement. They are amazed. They are amazed at the teaching of Jesus, and rightly so, because they've never heard anything like this before. Or even better yet, they've kind of heard this before, but never like this. And so the sermons that they were used to from the scribes now are kind of like hollow in their memory. I picture like this, like they grew up listening to lectures about Mount Everest from out-of-shape cartographers who can barely climb a hill without breaking a sweat. And now standing before them is Sir Edmund Hillary. The edges of his beard frosted with snow, his cheeks are red, and he begins teaching about Mount Everest. He says, let me tell you about the summit. But the crowds aren't just amazed at the Sermon on the Mount. They are amazed at the preacher on the Mount. They are amazed at Jesus. Jesus has authority. All their lives, they've known authorities of different kinds, authorities of parents and priests and soldiers and tax collectors, but never have they experienced an authority like this in Jesus from Galilee. This word for authority in the Greek is exousia, and it literally means out of, ex, and then ousia, being, speaking out of being. Here's what Matthew is describing. It's not just that Jesus' teaching has authority because he fully lives what he preaches. It's also this, that Jesus' teaching comes out of his very being and is therefore an encounter with Jesus' being, with who he is. And who is Jesus? Jesus is the kingdom. Jesus is the king. He is the one who makes the kingdom life possible here on earth in our everyday lives, as it is in heaven. And so if you think about it for a moment, this makes Jesus' parable come alive. You know the rock that the wise builder built his home upon? You know the foundation that Jesus is calling the crowd to build their lives upon? That foundation is standing right before the crowd. The rock is a person. Jesus' parable is pointing to himself. Jesus is the unbreakable, eternal foundation that holds up a life no matter the wind or wave. Stronger than the very mountain that the crowd was standing upon is Jesus, the rock of ages. And they are looking at him and they are amazed. And that's just it. They're just amazed. And that's not enough. That's not why Jesus preached his sermon and why he used this metaphor. He wasn't trying just to impress people by being eloquent. It's not enough to be amazed at the foundation. You need to be anchored to the foundation. You're probably aware of this church building that we're in. We're live streaming here live. Is built upon a concrete foundation, and I hope the house you're in or the apartment you're in has one too. I really do. But did you know that in order for your house to experience the benefit of the strength of this foundation, it can't just be on it. It needs to be anchored to it. If you're 2x4s, I got one here. What a coincidence. If your 2x4 walls are just near the foundation, or if they're just on the foundation, if there is a storm or a great wind, the wall is going to move and probably buckle, and your house is going to collapse. So to prevent this in residential construction, wise builders use anchor bolts. Aisle 18, Home Depot. Anchor bolts. And what they do in construction, I worked construction for a few years, they put the anchor bolt through the 2x4, and I hope this works. I actually met the manager of Home Depot. He's a friend because I worked there for a year, and I was talking about this illustration, and I'm like, I really hope that the thing that represents Jesus doesn't break. But then he's like, well, you could then buy more product because we've got concrete fixture. And I'm like, you're just trying to upsell me. Anyways, so here's the foundation. And in order for the wall to experience the benefit of the foundation and its strength, you actually have to drive you have to pound the 2x4 and anchor it to the foundation. And now the house experiences the benefit of the foundation. The crowds were near Jesus. They were near the foundation. They were even amazed at the foundation. But Matthew never records the crowds ever anchoring their lives on Jesus. And so their lives never experience the benefit of the kingdom and knowing the life that is available there. But some did. As you read on after chapter 7, you go into chapter 8. Matthew records Jesus walking down the mountain and he encounters two lives. you have this guy with leprosy, and then you have this Roman centurion, and they both anchor themselves to Jesus. They entrust their lives to Jesus, and they experience the power of the kingdom. They experience restoration in their lives because they put their faith in him. They anchored themselves to Jesus. It's not enough to be amazed with Jesus. You have to be anchored to Jesus if you're going to experience the life of his kingdom. And that's the life that you were made for. You were made to experience the forgiveness of God. You were made to experience and to rest in the unconditional love of God that you pant after like a deer. You were made for healing. You were made for intimacy with God. You were made to experience reconciliation in relationships, and all that is available in the kingdom, even hope in the face of death. You know, it's not enough to just hear messages on Sunday and just be amazed. Oh, I really liked that sermon. It was really nice. I liked the pastor's shirt. It was flannel. You've got to be anchored to Jesus. So how do you anchor your life to Jesus? How do you do that? What does that mean for us today? Well, Jesus' parable makes it really plain. Anchoring your life to Jesus means not just simply hearing what he's teaching, but doing what he's teaching. Not just hearing what Jesus says, but actually doing what Jesus says. And he presses this point further by how he describes the wise builder's house and why it doesn't collapse in the storm. This is really cool. It doesn't fall because the house was not just on the rock, but it was anchored and founded upon the rock. What Jesus does in the parable is he takes the word for foundation, which is a noun, and he turns it into an action, into a verb. It's the word founded or anchored. It's because it's anchored to the foundation that doesn't collapse. And I just love this as a picture of what faith is. Real faith, a faith that secures your life, is not just believing that Jesus exists. Like, wow, there's this great foundation over here. That is not actual saving faith. Faith is actually doing what Jesus says, is actually anchoring your life in his kingdom way. So every time we turn to the Father in prayer, we ask and we seek and we knock. When you do that, you are driving the anchor of your faith into the kingdom. And every time you practice honesty in the marketplace and you let your yes be yes and your no be no, you are anchoring your life and your business into the kingdom. And every time you give generously to those in need, and you don't do it to flex, to be honored by others, you do it out of just love for God and love for people, then you are anchoring yourself in the the unshakable kingdom. And you are experiencing the provision of God as you trust him and be radically generous. And so the question is, where are our anchors? Where are your anchors? What are you putting your faith in? And what is your foundation in life? That is not an easy question to answer, but Jesus' parable tells us what exposes the foundation of our life and what our life is anchored to. He says, the rain came down, and the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. What reveals our foundation are storms. So let me tell you one from my life. I remember about 3 years ago, I got the kind of call that a landlord never wants to hear from their tenant. And it was, "Hi, Marcus, there is water under our floor." Now, I was hoping it was like a broken dishwasher or like a leaky toilet seal or something small. But when I came down to our basement suite, the entire 1,400 square feet, there's like 2 or 3 inches of water underneath. And when you walked on the flooring, the whole flooring would like undulate down to the other side of the suite. And I was freaking out. So this storm of 2018, it took the form of a massive snowpack that was on the mountain above us. And when it melted, it went into the ground and it flooded all these homes around us, and it flooded our home as well. You can see one of the slides there with all that water coming in the backyard. Got one of my boys digging a hole. We had all hands on deck, and the damage was so extensive. We had to expose the foundation to our house, and so there's another photo there of the flooring stripped up and everything. So the drywall had to come off, and flooring was ripped up. We even had an excavator dig around the entire house, exposing the foundation from the outside. And I think there's a photo of, if you have a huge trench around your house like a moat, it's kind of tricky to get into the house, so we had some fun getting the kids in and inside and outside of the house. There might be a photo about that. But anyways, more to the point here. The quality of our home's foundation was exposed by the surge of unexpected water. So it turned out, we didn't know this, that our foundation had a lot of cracks in it. And that's where the water was seeping in. And so it was a very expensive fix. We had to reseal the whole foundation. We brought in all new perimeter drainage, and then we had to redo the whole basement suite. So it really was a combination of Murphy's Law and Jesus's Law. Murphy's Law, our home, built in a desert. Kelowna is a desert. We were on a mountain, and we flooded. But seriously, Jesus's Law, that it is the storms that expose the foundations of our life. And here's the thing. The storm exposed what was too late to fix. There's no way we could have re-anchored our house to another foundation. The water was already in. The damage was done. It was just too late. And in effect, this is the warning. This is the way that Jesus is dramatically ending his sermon. With this loud crash of the foolish builder's house just falling apart. Jesus is saying, examine your foundation now. Look at what your life is built upon right now. Don't wait. If you wait till the floodwaters happen, or the final storm of God's judgment, which is behind this text, it may be too late, and your entire life might collapse. So do we have to wait until the storm to find out what our foundation is? We don't. Storms are not the only thing that expose our foundation. There's such a thing as settling. Let me explain. Settling is a construction term that refers to a foundation that has shifted because the ground underneath wasn't strong enough to bear the load and the weight of that structure. So I remember back in the 80s working home renovations in Vancouver, and we came across a lot of homes that had cracks on their walls and on their ceilings, and that's because their foundation had actually shifted. It had actually settled. And so the walls would crack, the ceiling would crack. You see, modern day homes and their weight, they are weighty. They're not designed to be carried by a weak soil like sand. They are designed to be carried by something strong. And it's like that with our lives. God never designed our lives to be carried by a weak foundation. He's designed our lives to be carried by Him, by a firm and sure foundation that we can anchor to. And like the foolish builder, we too can place our anchors in the sand. Now, why would we ever choose sand over this firm foundation? I think one of the big reasons is because it's really easy to settle for sand. It is very easy to settle for sand. It's so much harder to anchor your structure into bedrock. Just think of all the high rises that are going up on the waterfront. If you look at their work sites, you'll see that they spend weeks, they spend so much time and so much money driving these massive 50-foot piles or even longer of steel. They're like giant anchor bolts that go deep into the soil, through the sand, and then they anchor into the bedrock so that it can hold up these massive structures. That is really hard to do. It is hard to anchor in rock. It was very easy to do it in sand. I just so happen to have sand here and got another 2x4. And let me just show you what it is like to anchor into sand. You saw how many times I had to pound it into here, but I think it's just going to be. Look how easy it is. In fact, I might be able, it's so easy, I could even just use my pinky or my ring finger or my thumb. Okay? It is so easy to anchor in sand. And here's the thing. They both look secure. They're both not moving. Sand looks like a great foundation, but when the storms come, easily shifts. And what happens is you see cracks on the wall. And that's a point I want to draw out, that you don't just have to wait for the storms. If your life is on sand, you're going to start seeing cracks on the wall. So don't settle for sand. Don't settle for sand when it comes to the foundation of your life. Don't settle for the sand of money. If you make money your foundation, you're going to have zigzagging cracks all along the walls, just like the markets, up and down, up and down. You're going to have all this anxiety. And don't settle for the sand of lust. You know that the sand of lust cannot carry what you actually were made for, what you want, which is real intimacy with another person and real intimacy with God. I think of blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. And don't settle for the sand of anger. A life anchored in anger is a very unstable life, and it leads to broken relationships in the home and in the workplace. So what do you do when you see signs of settling in your life? What do you do when you've anchored your life into sand? What you don't do is grab a drywall trowel and just start, you know, smearing mud on the wall and trying to cover up the crack. That's not the work you do. What you do is you work at the level of the foundation. You work on the foundation. In other words, what you do is you re-anchor yourself in Jesus and his kingdom way. And so here's another picture. This is a fresh picture of what repentance is. It's a word that Jesus loved. To repent is to take your anchor of trust out of sand and to anchor it into Jesus and his kingdom. That is repentance. Repentance is pulling your trust out of money and anchoring yourself in the fact that there's a God who loves you and he will provide for you. It's pulling your anchor out of lust and just trusting that Christ can change your heart and give you his purity. And it's pulling out of anger and just asking God to fill you with his peace and his patience in your relationships. Let me share with you a personal story of re-anchoring in Jesus' kingdom. It didn't happen in the 80s. That was a joke. I just have always wanted to say in the 80s. This is in 1999. It's the year before Y2K, which makes me feel so old when I say that. So I'm 19 years old. I've just finished my first year of being a youth pastor in Tacoma, Washington. And I came back to Prairie Bible College for my second year, strutting like a rooster. I was anchored in pride. I thought I was a big deal and that the college was lucky to have me. But then they didn't feel that way. In fact, they were like, Marcus, you don't have enough money for your first semester, so you need to go home. And I was furious. So I went out to the train tracks, which is on the edge of the campus, and a big, beautiful prairie sky, and I had it out with God. I was so angry, and that's the thing. When your life's anchored in pride, so often you settle into anger. And so I was railing at God. God, why are you hanging me out to dry? I served you for a whole year. Do you know how long a year is? You should be so thankful for what I've done. You owe me. I really thought that. You owe me. Why do I not have enough money? And as I'm railing and ranting, God, he was so gracious to me. He did something that I will never forget. In the middle of my rant, this robin flies by right in front of me, which may seem like not a big deal, but it was like God was flying a plane with this huge banner that said, trust me, I will provide. And the reason why that is because I was memorizing a passage of scripture in the Sermon on the Mount. Let's see if I can do it. It was, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow and reap and store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Marcus, aren't you much more valuable than they? Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and I will add to your life everything that you need. That scripture just flooded my heart, and I just saw this picture of the kingdom where there's a God who provides for our needs. And so what I did, I just pulled the anchor out of pride. I just said, Lord, forgive me for my anger. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk back to campus, not filled with anger, but just filled with trust that you're going to provide. And so I walked back to campus, and what do you know? The first person I bumped into was the vice president, and somehow she got it out of me that I couldn't stay. I didn't have the money. She said, come with me. And like 10 minutes later, everything was worked out. I was able to stay for my first semester, and then 2 years later, I graduated with a bachelor's of ministry, debt-free, and it was totally the provision of the Father. Now, you might say, well, that's just coincidence, but I say that's the kingdom. When we anchor ourselves in the life of the kingdom, we experience God and his provision and the power of his kingdom because we're anchored to the king. The end of my sermon, I want to end with the concern that is really at the end of Jesus' sermon, and that's response. Maybe you find yourself among the crowd this morning. You're amazed at Jesus, and you've been following along in our messages, and you know you've been listening to Jesus and his words, but now this morning you hear him say, step out of the crowd, step on to the foundation, step onto the rock, commit your life to me. Maybe this morning you're recognizing that you've built your life on the sand, and you feel this. You feel that you need a sure foundation, and you recognize that that's Christ. And so if you have never put your faith in Christ, you've never anchored yourself to Jesus, then what I'd love to do this morning is just lead a simple prayer that you can follow along. It's a way of anchoring your faith in Christ, a way of giving your life to him that you may experience his life. And so if that's you, just pray along with me wherever you find yourself. Lord Jesus, I have built my life on the sand. But Lord, I see that you are the rock. You are the foundation. And so, God, would you help me to put my anchor of faith in you? Lord, I entrust my life to you. Jesus, I receive your life, your forgiveness. Jesus, help me to follow you. For I pray in your name. Amen. So if you prayed that prayer, it's not the finish line. It's the beginning of a relationship with Jesus. And so make sure that you tell someone that knows Jesus, because living an anchored life in Jesus is not something we do alone. We do it together. Okay? So, or you could email the office, but we want to know about that. And then just lastly, I think about the disciples. I think about you who know Jesus. You've anchored your life to Jesus. But as you're hearing this sermon, you might feel a little bit like the disciples in chapter 8, which is right after the sermon. And we find the disciples in a literal boat, in a literal storm, and they are literally amazed. And in that story, Jesus says, you of little faith. And so even to his very disciples, he says, your anchors, they're not really fastened to me. Your faith is little. And so as the worship team sings this song about building our life upon the only worthy foundation to build upon, I would just ask you to consider, where is Jesus calling me to drive my faith? Where is he calling me to anchor my life this morning? Just consider that question as they sing this beautiful worship song.
Song we could ever sing. every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. And Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you.
Open up my eyes in wonder.
up my eyes in wonder.
I hope you hear Jesus singing in that song the invitation that you would build your life on his love. It is a firm foundation. And we are all invited to that.